invite your congregation to turn with me to the book of Judges, which in your pew Bible you should be able to find the Judges 13 specifically, page 248. We look at the very last verses of Judges 13, and then we're going to read the entirety of chapter 14, and that will serve as our text this morning. The Lord willing, we'll also be looking at Judges 15 tonight, this afternoon. The birth of Samson is recorded for us in chapter 13, and the miraculous manifestation of the angel of the Lord forecasting his birth, and the birth that comes, that Samson was to be one, a Nazarite, set apart, consecrated to the Lord, and God set up Samson specifically to be one of the deliverers, judges, as Israel. This was a period in which everyone did right in their own eyes, a period in which Israel had given up the conquest, as she was commissioned to do, and had compromised, and now was suffering the consequences of her faithlessness. Now we begin the reading at verse 24, chapter 13, these words. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahanadan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Samson went down to Timnah and saw a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I've seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. His father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She's the right one for me. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Sometime later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. In it was a swarm of bees and some honey, which he scooped out with his hands and ate as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some, and they too ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Now his father went down to see the woman, and Samson made a feast there, as was customary for bridegrooms. When he appeared, he was given 30 companions. Let me tell you a riddle, Samson said to them. If you can give me the answer within the 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. If you can't tell me the answer, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. Tell us your riddle, they said. Let's hear it. He replied, out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. For 3 days, they could not give the answer. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. Did you invite us here to rob us? Then Samson's wife threw herself on him, sobbing. You hate me. You don't really love me. You've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer. I haven't even explained it to my father or mother, he replied. So why should I explain it to you? She cried the whole 7 days of the feast. So on the seventh day, he finally told her because she continued to press him. She, in turn, explained the riddle to her people. Before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town said to him, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Samson said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of their belongings, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he went up to his father's house. And Samson's wife was given to the friend who attended him at his wedding. Thus far, our reading from God's Word. And may He bless His Word to us. I first learned about Samson Congregation in Sunday school, probably flannel graph or something like that, some such kind of lessons. And he was quite impressive, the Christian Hercules. He was a hero. He was an example of how God provides for His people, and He can make weaklings strong when God wants to. And that's true enough so far as it goes, but that's the children's version of Samson. And some things are meant for children, and adult things aren't meant for them. That's why they're adult things. But what the Bible gives us with Samson is the adult version. And it's not near as tidy or as pretty as that. We're told in the previous chapter 13 that he is foretold. Here's a foretold birth, even as you're given a foretold birth of Jesus. This is a miraculous kind of birth to this sterile couple. This is a child where it's fully explained he's to be set apart at birth as a Nazarite, to be consecrated to the Lord. He's not to drink. He's never to cut his hair. And he has a particular task and service. And at this particular time in Israel's history, you have to understand the tribes spread across the land. These various tribes of Israel knew pockets of oppression everywhere. And so if you actually got out a map, when you study the book of Judges, you would discover, oh, well, that's the tribes over there, and they're suffering oppression by these foes. And that there's another set of tribes over here suffering these kind of issues. And so we find here, it talks about the Israelites being under oppression, but it's those who are most close and adjacent to the peoples called the Philistines. They were Israel's oppressors. Now, what's important is that right away, we get straight in our minds that when you hear an Old Testament story about Israel, you can yawn and say, well, that's nice, but I'm a North American and I'm a Christian and that's back when. But that's your story. Israel is church history. It's our story, and the kind of issues and problems and struggles and failures and sins are the same ones we face. So that an Israel that had a commission in a conquest, yes, in those days, a conquest of sword of steel, a conquest of blood, but it was still a conquest in order to establish a foothold of blessing through which God would bless the nations of the earth. And she said to that commission and that call to conquest on those terms in those days at that time, nah, no thanks. And I'll alert you right away, we still have a commission as church to go to nations of the earth to spread the good news of the gospel. Yes, to all the nations, because the Abrahamic promise through the seed of Abraham, which is Christ the Lord, is to bless all the families of the earth. It's still a conquest of sorts. It's a commission. And we may not say no thanks. So right away, you need to see some issues here. And right away, you see when Israel gives up on doing it. God's way, when she says no thanks to God's commission, she suffers the consequences so that now she's oppressed by the very people she was called to direct her attention to. And that's how chapter 13 starts. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. But here's God's provision. Here's God's answer, and it comes in the form of this one called Samson. But immediately we confront a riddle when we confront this man? Because here's a Nazirite who seems to be going backwards. Here's a guy who sort of ordained office, but is looking for a wife in all the wrong places. Imagine having a bachelor preacher who's looking for an unbeliever as a wife. I don't think that's going to go down real well. It certainly didn't go down real well with Samson's parents. This Samson, he's a riddle. He's a strange bird to try to understand. And that's what we want to look at this morning, the riddle of Samson, and with it, the riddle of sin, and with that, the riddle of grace. Samson, the lion killer. Now, first we want to look at the story and the riddles that emerge, and then what they mean for them and for us. We're told, and here's why I read chapter 13, that he was endowed with the Spirit of the Lord. That the child grew, the Lord blessed him, and then the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him, or came upon him at Mahanadan, the camp of Dan, between Zorah, his birthplace, and Eshtaol, a village not far away. We need to keep that in mind, that because we're alerted to something. The Spirit of the Lord is at work, no matter what he proves to be. And that's still true. We read of scandal in the papers, you know, biggest church in the area and all that. I'm not going to rehearse it. You probably know enough already. But as unfit as God's instruments might be, and they are unfit, the Spirit does his work and compensates, overcomes, and still builds the church. It's not to make light of any of that. It's to praise God. It's not finally merely up to us or a few fellows. It's not that at all. The Spirit of the Lord is upon this Samson. So what do we read next? The thing we read next is he likes what he sees in the land of Philistia. You know, he doesn't like the girls at the Christian school. He likes the girls at public school, if I may put it kind of on those terms. He doesn't like the girls that are going to church. He likes the girls that aren't going to church. He likes the girls going to this Dagon worship stuff. That's what he's into. And he finds one he likes. He comes home and he tells his parents about it. And his parents are upset. You can't know that she's the one, and he insists. And so he begins, they arrange a wedding. And on the way for the wedding and so on and making arrangements, we're given this weird incident that he suddenly, this young lion emerges. There he is in the land of Philistia. And here comes this lion to devour God's judge, God's deliverer for his people. But then we're told immediately the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he ripped this young lion apart like he would a young goat. Now that foreshadows something, and it's pointing us, the readers, no one else knew this except Samson himself, but he didn't take the object lesson to heart. That becomes very clear. The Spirit, you threaten the life of my deliverer, and the Spirit comes and this lion is putty in his hand, rips the lion to shreds. He tells no one. But sometime later, going there for the wedding day, I got to take a look at this conquest, and he discovers a hive of bees, has found a hive in the carcass of this lion, and he scoops out the honey he eats and gives to his parents, and again, doesn't tell them what's going on. Now, you can kind of yawn at that and say, well, that's interesting. And that's the part of the Sunday school lesson we're really given. And we are, little children, our eyes get big as saucers. Wow, Samson, yeah, let's play Samson. But that's the children's version. The adult version is he's violating his Nazirite vows by touching carcasses and consuming the tainted and ceremonially unclean honey and putting that in his mouth and giving it to his parents. Samson isn't living straight, man. He's not living straight by who he wants to marry. He's not living straight by the frivolous way he takes his Nazarite vow. But he's God's instrument. Nonetheless, the Lord is doing this to seek an occasion against the Philistines, even through a flawed instrument, yes, the occasion to bring deliverance for his people, crying out, suffering the consequences of their sin. Well, what happens next? We're at wedding day, and they offer, you know, this is hard for us to get. In those days, a reception lasted a week. You know, it lasts an afternoon for us. And, you know, we have nice little dinners and we cut the cake and we have these little ceremonies, very nice. But in those days, it was a week-long affair. And all kinds of different entertainment. And they created some entertainment for themselves. And Samson does it by this riddle, fresh in his mind, his conquest of the lion, fresh in his mind what God had done. He knows that he's God's instrument this way. Fresh in his mind, taking this honey, and so out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. Well, we know the answer already. It's easy. But try to solve it if you don't. 30 sets of clothes, okay? Silk suits, silk shirts, you know, I'll be the best dressed man in the whole area. I'll reciprocate. Sure, this stupid Hebrew will gladly have him outfit us. And so this occasion against the Philistines begins as a battle of wits. Well, you know the story. They can't solve the riddle. And so after the third day, they know it, and they threaten Samson's wife and her whole family, father's household. We're going to burn your house down and with you in it. If you don't get the answer, tell us. We're not about to pay up and have this Hebrew. It's bad enough he's marrying you, but we're not going to make him a well-dressed man besides. And so she goes to work on her husband. In fact, we read there that she, all 7 days, so she had already been at it. You don't love me. You know. She wheedles the answer. She wears him out. There was a version of the nagging woman as the constant dripping. Some version of that. And sorry. That's right in the Bible. I didn't put it there. She wears him out. And so she gives her the answer. She tells the people. So right at sundown, right when Samson thinks he's going to win the bet, these clever fellows come along and they answer his riddle with a riddle. It's important you see that. The riddles here. They answer his riddle with a riddle. What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Well, what is? Certainly love is sweeter than honey. A woman's tears are stronger than a lion. Ask some of the fellows. We don't have to be that insightful to get it. And Samson knows the treachery at once. He understands immediately. You know, for him, there's kind of a double edge to this, though. What is sweeter than honey? For Samson, the alluring sweets of the Philistines, worldliness. And what goes with it is sweeter than honey. What is stronger than a lion? Samson's stronger than a lion. But so is a woman. So is nagging. So is temptation. For Samson. Now, that's the riddles. There's an outline of the story. And he's reduced to thief, right? He has to run out. He goes to Ashkelon. That's Philistine territory. That's a Philistine city. He slaughters 30 men. reduce the thief to pay up. He's humiliated. God's deliverer suffering humiliation because he has his hands in the wrong places, has his heart in the wrong place, has put his desires in the wrong place. He's treasuring the wrong things. What we must understand, congregation, is that the answers to the riddles of Judges 14 serve to show us the riddle and solve the riddle of Samson himself. Because, as I said, you get to the adult version of this story, and Samson is indeed stirred by the Spirit of God, but he's also stirred by youthful lust and a divided heart. Samson indeed is Samson the strong man, Samson the lion killer, but he's also Samson the weakling who finds himself helpless before the tears of his Philistine bride, a girl in her mid-teens likely. And that's because as long as his head is turned from being servant of the Lord to meet my needs and my wants, and I think this is where life is, man, he's going to suffer the consequences. As long as he compromises and isn't doing it God's way and violating his vows of desecration, he can't expect blessing. You see it all very clear. That lion, there's something emblematic about that lion that came against God's servant, and the Spirit of the Lord stirs him so that he finds deliverance. Because that's a forecast that should have been an imprint in his own heart. The Lord is with me. The Lord is my cause. The Lord, I'm the Lord's servant. Let me be the deliverer. I've been consecrated to be, set apart to be. Lord, use me this way. But his own motives are just banal. His own motives are just, there's a hot number, I want her. His own motives are full of pride. How can I get myself set up with 30 nice sets of clothes and humiliate the Philistines? But not doing it God's way, he's the humiliated one. Reduced to theft, and his bride goes to a friend. Wow. You see, the solution to the riddle of Samson raised up to throw off the Philistine yoke, which is a way of saying raised up to throw off Satan's power of darkness against God's people who are called to be light to the nations. The solution to the riddle of Samson is that he's one who keeps dipping his hands into Philistine honey, eating his fill. And indeed, temptation proves to be sweeter than honey and stronger than a lion. And now, church, with its commission, with its task. You see, you can change the circumstances and the names and the places, but we face some of the same issues. These are people who, because of their sin and the way they compromised, the way they said, no thanks to the conquest. You know, Joshua, a whole generation's known that. Joshua's our big leader. He's gone. Enough already. Let's just all get along. You don't have to be so strict. You don't have to be so narrow about it all. And what you read in Judges, you get two basic refrains in the whole book of Judges. Once again, Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Chapter after chapter. Once again. Once again. Once again. And then you get to the latter part of the book. It's a new refrain. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Everyone did what was right in their own. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes, but not God's eyes. But God doesn't want to play hardball with his people. They cry for help as they're oppressed by these different foreign peoples. They refuse to drive out of the land or ask God's help to do it. And he gives them one deliverer judge after the next. And yet so many of them are flawed, weak. Because you see, a deliverer like Samson, though in some respects he points us to the deliverer, indeed, our Lord will continue to give deliverers and provide deliverers until he does provide the deliverer, who's Christ the Lord. This Samson, nonetheless, is also someone who is from the people and like them. The reason we hear about scandals of pastors nowadays is because he's like the people sitting in the pew, if I may be so bold to say. He's tempted the way you are. He's weak the way you are weak. Or they are. That's not to vindicate them. That's to convict all of us. What is Samson but doing what the rest of the Israelites are doing? They're not under this oppression and bondage for nothing. They had done evil in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord said, you want to live with the world and live like the world and have the world rule you. Now how is it? Have mercy, Lord. And he does. But the mercy is going to come with a crooked smile. Because the one I use to deliver you is going to be flawed like you. He's going to mirror you. And that's what we see here. Because Israel's the great riddle, blessed by God, set apart from God, delivered, made a nation in a foreign land, delivered from the mightiest nation on earth, ocean splitting in half, a river split in half, city walls falling flat. Well, that was then, though. It's a lot harder to serve the Lord now when city walls aren't falling flat and oceans aren't splitting in half. It's easy then. Yawn. It's a different era. We've got to get along. So they compromise. They try to trim God's word and commission around the edges. And they suffer and know the burden. Praise the Lord for another deliverer who finally comes. And you know, he was tempted too. In fact, the devil set him upon a mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and said, I'll give you all of these and all that's in that. You want a harem, Jesus? You can have a harem. You want all the clothes you can think of? You can have all the clothes. You want status and power and all that? I will give you the kingdoms of the earth. You can have all the status and all the power. And Jesus spoke the word of God right back in his mouth. He wasn't marrying it. He wasn't dipping his hands in Philistine honey. But he offered his hands to a cross of sacrifice. Samson mirrors Israel. But you see, it touches us because where are we getting our sweets? Where are we putting our hands? It's a seriously asked question, and I don't ask it in a position of I'm the morally superior one, so meet my standard. I'm simply saying we already know what the biblical standard is. And I, with you, as part of the people of God, face the same thing. We can decry today's sexual revolution on the one hand, but silently take pleasure in its consequences. You bemoan what's on TV, but finally don't look away. It offers some nice fantasies. It's a version of adultery in your heart that Jesus talked about. We can decry the breakdown of marriage, but not trust the Lord. And take on the world's solution. I'm unhappy, get out. I'm not throwing darts at people. My own parents divorced. I'm not throwing darts at divorced people. Don't misunderstand. But I am throwing a dart at the attitude that I'm not in this for keeps. I'll try it out. We can lament a pleasure-mad society. Hey, it affords us the same opportunities. Or a materialistic society. Well, who cares so long as my investments pay out? Or, I sure wish I could win the lottery. But I wish it was me. So it's back, are our hands sticky? Where have we been putting our hands? Where have we been finding our pleasure? We're consecrated people too. We're more consecrated than Christ is. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling. We're anointed with Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. We're prophets, priests, and kings. We're called to declare the word of the Lord, speak it at the workplace, speak it and instruct it to our children, to speak words of encouragement to one another, to speak our faith into each other's ears. That's our prophetic office. We're priests to intercede for a world broken, going astray, not living with it, not dipping our hands in it, but praying for it and bringing the word to it. And we're to not indulge in the sins of the world, but reign and fight against it and know the victory of the power of Christ and His cross. We're more consecrated to the Lord than Samson. But what are we doing? Perhaps we're the biggest riddle of all. These strange people, these Christians. odd birds. A lot of people write us off as hypocrites. We can be secretly glad that the world is just the way it is. Lord Jesus, come, but not quickly. Not now, not yet. As for me and my house in North America, it's okay enough. Hold off. I rather enjoy the world the way it is. Perhaps we Christians indeed, in light of Pentecost or Christmas and Good Friday and Easter and Pentecost, perhaps we're the biggest riddle of all. But not. There's one bigger. And that's that God still sends deliverers and the deliverer to us. God still loves us. The Christ of cross and His healing work is still ours to claim and to call upon and to find new beginnings from, even if we're guilty of all the sins and attitudes I've already talked about. Lord, new beginnings. Grace afresh. Heal us, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord. Refocus us, Lord. Reorient us, Lord. Recommit us, Lord. Because You cleanse us, Lord. And we're not our own, but bought at a price. Not our own, but loved. Not our own, but Spirit indwelt. Not our own, but by the Spirit made ready henceforth from now on to live for Him. The riddle of grace. The riddle of Jesus Christ and His blood. The riddle of our Heavenly Father who so loved this world sinful, rebellious, unlovable. So loved that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him, whosoever, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Our gracious God, heal Your people today. As we still suffer temptation, still suffer the ambiguity of an obedient life because we are so tempted by disobedience, forgive the riddle that we are of claiming Christ but not always loving Him so. Indeed, may we know Your cleansing hand afresh. Fortify us in the faith. May we see, O Lord, that Jesus Christ, His love is sweeter than honey. And Jesus Christ, His saving work is stronger than a lion. Fortify us in these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.